And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Monday edition. If it's your turn, we have open talk to begin the program today, although a little bit later, I have guests visiting with us from Butler Meals on Wheels. They are getting ready to celebrate a significant anniversary, 50 years, believe it or not. Butler Meals on Wheels has been servicing the Butler area 50 years, and they've got plans for a celebration coming up next month, I believe. Mary Paticky, who directs the program, will be with us, and I think some of the volunteers, too, from Butler Meals on Wheels. So that'll be a little bit later on the program today. First of all, though, it's open talk. Our phone number is 283-2525, as usual. 283-2525. Interested to know if there's anybody listening who remembers the classic TV show, The Honeymooners, with Jackie Gleason. I know it hasn't been on for a long, long time. I haven't even seen it in syndication in many, many years. The sole surviving member of the cast of The Honeymooners, Joyce Randolph, celebrates a birthday today. She's 95. She played Trixie Norton. That was Norton's wife, Ed Norton's wife, on The Honeymooners. 95. All of the other cast members of the show died quite some time ago, actually. Audrey Meadows played Jackie Gleason's wife. Gleason, of course, was the Ralph Cramden character. And the great Art Carney played Ralph Cramden's buddy Norton. Ralph Cramden, Jackie Gleason, was a bus driver in Brooklyn, New York. His buddy Norton was a sewer employee, worked in the sewers underneath the city. Audrey Meadows, of course, was the long-suffering wife, Alice, of Ralph Cramden. And Trixie was Norton's wife. So the four of them, they made quite a quartet, actually. All black and white, of course. The Honeymooners actually started as just a quick blackout skit on one of Jackie Gleason's many TV shows. And it became so popular that it was spun off as a series all by itself. Those of you who are old enough to remember The Honeymooners may be surprised at how few episodes were made. They only made 39 shows. That was it, 39. And back in those days, that wasn't very many shows. Now, they played it over again in syndication, but as I say, I haven't seen it in ages. I'm sure you could still find an episode or two on YouTube if you wanted to. But it was classic TV and still funny today. Still funny. Because of the outrageous characterizations by Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. And yes, by the two women as well. Audrey Meadows and Trixie Norton. It's a great show. I can remember watching it as a kid and even thought it was funny then. And then later as an adult, seeing old reruns and just laughing my head off. Anybody remember that? The Honeymooners? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. For the good old days of television, huh? Let's go to the phones. Hi, caller. This is Dave Mullarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
I won't go about the Honeymooners, but I was wondering, is your car still together yet after making a trip? Did you make the trip over the great Jefferson Street hill?
I did a couple of days after you called me, and you're right. It's pretty disgraceful coming down that hill.
Well, Dave, you know, the weather's been great. Now, that's been, what, about 2 weeks ago. The weather has been great, even today, now, and then maybe later in this week. Now, they did do some patching out by the hospital entrance, out there by, you know, with the bridge and so forth. They done some patching there, but they just took the equipment and disappeared and left the Jefferson Street Hill in ridiculous, dangerous condition. And there's no need with this good weather that they haven't done something to that.
Well, I went out and came down that hill just as you suggested, and I agree. It's got some horrible bumps in it. The only thing I can imagine is, that it needs some sort of major work and that they don't have time to bid that out and do it this construction season. But
well, I believe they do, Dave, because in the last week and so, they done out by the hospital. If you go out to the hospital entrance, you'll see different sections that have been, you know, cut out and nicely paved, you know, over. So there's no excuse to not be able to do some, you know, cut some of the bad out. And, you know, if you go out there, I'll have you, I'm giving you a tour, but go out by the hospital entrance and so forth down to that bridge. They cut out the bad part, you know, and then blacktop that section like.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need, with the weather, it's still going to be all right later in the week, that they don't go and, you know, cut some of the bad part out, you know, and patch it.
Well,
there's no reason. And then also, like when you're coming out of Hanson Avenue to go up Newcastle Hill, it's terrible there to make that turn. You have to really stop or you lose your car. They patch below there, down by where the school was there, that school. They done it, but they never done up by where you pull out around from Hanson up Newcastle Hill. And, Dave, here's the thing. Why not have a truck go out by the mall, by the entrance there to where Chili's is, and just take a truck and patch the holes the whole way from the Long John Silver's into the high school? There's many potholes. All that have to be done is take a truck and have a couple of flagmen and patch the holes. It's coming winter, and, you know, there's still time, but I've never seen the roads in this area not being pothole patched.
Well,
I'll let you go, Dave.
No, it's okay. I agree with you on that stretch of Newcastle Road. In fact, I was quite astonished this spring when the list of roads to be repaved came out, and that stretch of Newcastle Road was not on the list. I mean, it runs right in front of the PennDOT maintenance headquarters there, and that stretch of roadway is in very, very poor condition. I agree with you 100% on that.
And here, Dave, you take a ride up Route 38. They've done that within about a couple months. It's a super highway now, all new guardrails, beautiful. And here we're at Route 68, terrible condition, but they done Route 38. And then they done Mitchell Hill, which has not traveled that much. About 2 weeks ago on Saturday, they done Mitchell Hill. And I said to myself, huh? That road isn't traveled. Why not do some of these busy roads that people use? But they need to get on the stick, I'll tell you, before, you know, the weather. We'll still have enough weather to do that. But, like, this is ridiculous. That Jefferson Street Hill, people are talking to me every day. What kind of a road do you leave like that? A state road and this others. But... But I'm just giving some ideas, Dave. You're my guy to look and take trips. And you take a trip out by the entrance to the hospital, they cut it out and put, a nice patch.
I'm familiar with that. I drove out that way, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, Dave, thanks.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Have a good one now. Bye.
Yeah, good to talk with you. He's right on some of those roadways. I can't believe that that stretch of Newcastle Road won't be on the list for repaving next year. But you do, you know, you have to understand that you can't do everything. There's only so many tax dollars that are available for road projects, and most of them are planned several years in advance. And you know, the PennDOT people do keep a list of what street or what road, what highway got paved when, so that they, you know, try to even things out. But Newcastle Road, along that stretch, I agree, needs work. And I did go out and travel down East Jefferson Street Hill coming into the city of Butler, and a caller's absolutely right. That's a rocky road coming down there. It takes quite a bit of truck traffic, too. It really does. But, again, on PennDOT's behalf, they don't need me to defend them, but these projects are put out for bid well in advance. And how about the Route 422 bypass? Boy, how beautiful is that going to be? And it's almost done. In fact, I was on it over the weekend, and it appears the only thing left to do is to put down one final layer of asphalt on the passing lanes on that 3 or 4 mile stretch of the bypass that's been totally renovated. It's been all summer. It's a major project. But I think that's all they have left to do. You know, the main travel lanes, which are not being used right now, they're done. Final pavement. They've got the rumble strips carved in. They've got the white line painted along the right-hand side. They've got all new guide rails in all along that stretch, both sides. And, of course, the center median was ripped out and replaced. That was the first part of the project. I think the only thing left to do is to put down the final layer of asphalt on the passing lanes, and that job will be ready to go. And a good job. A tedious one, took all summer, but that'll be nice to have that all set to go before the snow flies, which probably won't be too long. Open talk at 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Anybody have any particularly spectacular foliage to look at? I was kind of disappointed this weekend. I wanted to, in fact, I was planning on Sunday, yesterday, to take a little trip to view the fall leaves, but the weather was very disappointing. It was supposed to be sunny all day on Sunday, and it took until mid or even late afternoon before we got any sunshine to speak of. Now, it did get nice for a couple of hours, but I canceled my trip to see foliage because it was so dark and dreary. And the fall foliage doesn't seem to be at its peak yet around here. There are a few spots where there's a brilliant red tree or a patch of orange, but for the most part, the leaves are still green, right? They're a little dull, but they're still green. Open talk at 283-2525. Let's go to this line next. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I agree. The foliage has just started to turn here in Natrona Heights,
mm-hmm.
and I've been over to New Kensington, and it started there. But what I really called about was you hit a warm spot with me recalling Jackie Gleason and the comedy that we had back then. It was truly funny without being, if you'll excuse my expression, lewd, crude, or rude.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But I feel that maybe I've lost my sense of humor because I watch some of the programs that they are presenting as being comedy, and they fail to amuse me. I just don't find anything funny about them. I just felt Gleason's program was a little warm-hearted at times, you know, the situations that he and Alice were in. I don't find that at all in a lot of what's presented today as comedy.
I don't watch a lot of the, in fact, I don't watch any of the sitcoms on a regular basis.
No.
I've seen snippets while I'm, you know, flipping through the channels some evenings, and it seems to me that the two worst offenders I've seen are Two and a Half Men, I think is the name of it. And,
yep, you got it.
And there's one called, what's the name of the one? Mom or Mother or something like that? Mom,
yeah, yeah. Mom? Oh, my goodness. that's it. Like you, I flip through and I think, I watch a few minutes and I think, I really can't get into any of that. It just, in fact, some of it I just kind of find offensive. I'm sorry. I guess maybe I'm just an old lady.
I hear you. Every so-called joke in those shows is a sexual innuendo. And I mean, it just gets a little silly after a while.
It just, I bemoan the fact that there just doesn't seem to have a lot of originality or true humor, I think, is what I look for in a situation.
Bring back the honeymooners,
I'm telling you. Thank you for introducing the topic, because you made me smile thinking back on some of the enjoyable, and as you said, it wasn't particularly a long series, but they can repeat them even today, and I would probably enjoy them.
I agree. Hey, nice to talk with you.
Very much. Nice. Thanks, Dave, for the good talk.
Nice to talk with you today. Thanks. 283-2525. It's open talk right now. 283-2525. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I have a concern. Apologize if it was addressed. I've been away for a week. But a few weeks ago, during the Coffee with Kate and Dave, I'd gone through the birthdays, and it happened to be Vladimir Putin's birthday. And that was included on the birthday wishes. And I just thought, you know, from historical event, okay, but didn't think it was really right to group that with local people's birthdays and celebrities.
Well,
concern that I felt was sort of odd.
I can see your point, but when we do that, we're not necessarily wishing a happy birthday to everyone, but simply noting... you know, sometimes political figures, like today is the birthday of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so whether you like him or not, I mean, you know, he's in the news or not a lot. People might be interested to know that he's 70 today, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when we mentioned Vladimir Putin, just of general interest, quite frankly, I certainly wasn't wishing him a happy birthday. I agree with you on that. That would be kind of silly.
Just sort of came across like that, but maybe I...
Well, hey, maybe I did, and if I did, I apologize, because I certainly didn't mean it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't.
All right, hey, keep up the good work, Dave.
I wouldn't send him a birthday card. Let's put it that way.
No, definitely not.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Open talk at 283-2525 on this segment of It's Your Turn. 283-2525. I once saw Jackie Gleason in person, and it was not a show or anything. And folks, I have no idea when it was. All I know is I was a little kid, and I'm guessing little league age. What's that? 7, 8, right? Little league, when you're playing little league baseball, because our little league team took a trip to Pittsburgh. And this, Pirates was still playing at Forbes Field back in those days. And for some reason, Jackie Gleason made a personal appearance. And I can see this plain as day, even though I was only 7 or 8 years old. He came in through the one of the gates out in the center field, and he drove around the whole way around the inside of Forbes Field and sitting on the back of a convertible. So he obviously was in Pittsburgh for some sort of a personal appearance or something. But I can remember seeing him. I mean, he didn't say anything. He just waved at people as he went by. But we had pretty good seats for the Little League team. And he drove right past us there on the, you know, you would call it the... warning track out in the outfield, but you can also drive right around the third base home plate and, you know, up the first base line. That's what he did. Drove around, and he was waving, and Jackie Gleason. Quite the outrageous personality. Flamboyant, but that was his shtick, you know. And in his many versions of television, the early days of television, he started out with a program called The Cavalcade of Stars, Jackie Gleason's Cavalcade of Stars. And that's where these blackout sketches of the Honeymooners first appeared. And it would just be a short sketch, you know, for a minute or two. But they were so popular that they later made it its own show, The Honeymooners. And that's what everyone remembers. But Gleason had other shows long after The Honeymooners was put to bed. He had a musical variety show on TV, and I do remember that one quite well as a teenager, I guess, maybe young adult, I'm not sure. But that was an hour-long show, a major network show, but it was musical variety. You know, he had guest stars and singers and so on, and he had a troupe of dancers, the June Taylor Dancers, and the signature routine every year, they had an overhead camera. Anybody remember this? They did an overhead shot of these dancers, and the June Taylor Dancers performed kind of like you see swimmers perform in a pool. You know, they did starbursts and things like that from an overhead camera. It was kind of neat. I mean, you know, you couldn't watch it for 15 minutes, but it was pretty good. And then he had a routine that he did, I think, every week, where he played a character called Joe the Bartender, where he would, it was a little blackout sketch where he'd be, it always opened up with him wiping the bar with a bar rag. And then he had this one guy that would always visit him all the time. Was it Frankie Guggenheim? Pat Parker's looking at me through the window here like I'm speaking in a foreign language. I think the character's name was good. But he played a besotted patron at the bar. And, you know, they would sing or try to. It was pretty funny. Jackie Gleason. And prior to this, and I never knew this, but when I first started here at WISR, one of my mentors was the late Warren Eilenfeld. What a great guy. Great guy. Extremely knowledgeable on music of the big band era. In fact, Warren and I had a program every evening here on WISR. He called it the Vintage Years, and it was a short program. It ran about 10-15 minutes. But it was, he played the old big bands and commented on the tunes. Just very knowledgeable. But he's the one that told me that Jackie Gleason had his own orchestra at one time, a big band orchestra. And it was pretty good because Warren and I got out some of the old albums and played them for me. And, you know, I just thought he was a funny man, just a, you know, a comedian. But he had an extremely talented orchestra, Jackie Gleason Orchestra. And this would have been before the Honeymooners and, you know, the Jackie Gleason musical variety show and all that stuff. So, you know, I don't know whether you liked him or not. Obviously a very talented guy and bigger than life, you know. In more ways than one, he was a pretty rotund guy. But funny guy. Funny guy. Well, anyway, Joyce Randolph, the sole surviving cast member from the Honeymooners. God bless her. She's 95 years old today. 95. She'll always be remembered as Trixie, although she did other stuff. She was a stage actress, did some Broadway musicals. Trixie Norton. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Monday, the 21st of October, for goodness sakes. We'll be right back. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
A job fair and hiring event will be held on Wednesday, October 23rd at the PA Career Link Butler County office from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Bring copies of your resume and visit with employers and learn about full and part-time positions. The job fair is October 23rd from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. at the PA Career Link offices at 112 Hollywood Drive, Suite 203 in Butler.
Open talk for a few more minutes, and we have guests arriving here in the studio very, very shortly. I've mentioned on this program before my concerns, and I'm certainly no expert in autonomous vehicles, driverless cars, and driverless trucks, but I have concerns about tractor trailer rig barreling down the Pennsylvania Turnpike without a driver, or cars for that matter, driving through the city without anybody in the driver's seat. New research came out within the past couple of weeks, earlier this month, from AAA, revealing that automatic emergency braking systems designed to keep pedestrians safe don't work all that well. They perform only sporadically throughout the day, and they are completely ineffective at night. And it's pretty alarming, according to the AAA, considering that 75% of pedestrian fatalities occur after dark. Now, these are not driverless vehicles, but it's the same technology. There are many vehicles now that have these automatic emergency braking systems. You see the commercials on TV where, they avoid rear-ending a car in front of them or something like that. But in terms of protecting pedestrians, not so much, according to the new research from the AAA, which is, pretty reliable organization. 283-2525, our number. It's Open Talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. I wanted to make a comment about Jackie Gleason and the Smokey and the Bandit films. A lot of those lines that he did were off his, just rolling off his tongue. They weren't actually rehearsed or part of a script. I don't know if you knew that or not.
And you say they were ad-lib lines? We had a very poor cell connection there. I was afraid we were going to lose him. Is that what he said? Ad-lib lines? I did not know that. I did not know that. Recounting Jackie Gleason's career, I should have mentioned those films. They were kind of late in his career. Smokey and the Bandit, I think he did a couple of those with... who else was in those films? I didn't see them, but I know of them. He played a state police trooper, right? Yeah. But I didn't know that many of those lines were ad-lib. Doesn't surprise me, though. Doesn't surprise me because Jackie Gleason was a very funny man. Outstanding comedian. Well, thank you for that, caller, and I'm sorry that we lost you. I could tell from the very beginning that you were in a bad cell, and I was afraid we were going to lose you there. Okay, let's take a break here, and we're going to go out into the lobby and get our guests and get them in here and get them all mic'd up and ready to go. We're going to be talking about the upcoming 50th anniversary of Butler Meals on Wheels. So give us a couple of minutes here, and we'll be back with the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Compassionate Certification Centers makes getting your medical marijuana card so easy. With 10 convenient locations, you're closer to getting your medical marijuana card than you think. Log on to cccregister.com for your appointment at either Butler, Carlisle, Clarion, Erie, downtown Pittsburgh, Kachanning, Natrona, the North Hills, or Washington. Call Compassionate Certification Center today to find out if you qualify at 888-316-9085. You can even send in your medical records for a free review before booking an appointment. That's 888-316-9085 or cccregister.org.
Hi, this is Pat Parker reminding you that you can tune to WISR 680 AM radio Saturdays after the CBS News at 10 a.m. for the phone party and audio auction. You can buy, sell, and trade items or mention garage or yard sales. You'll also have the opportunity to bid on certificates from restaurants and other businesses and tickets from area locations. The phone number to keep in mind is 724-283-2525. That's 724-283-2525 for the phone party and audio auction on Saturdays after the 10 a.m. CBS News.
Hi, my name is Tony Gummo. I specialize in assisting Medicare beneficiaries with their coverage decision. I serve North Central and Western Pennsylvania. Prior to becoming a healthcare agent, I served in the Pennsylvania State Police for 22 years. Medicare enrollment guidelines have become complex and sometimes overwhelming. My experience has taught me that coverage should be personalized to meet a client's needs. I've assisted hundreds of clients with Medicare supplement insurance choices, encountering many different scenarios along the way. It's something that I'm proud of. I've helped clients understand the difference between original Medicare and Medicare supplement coverage and want to make decisions with confidence knowing you have all the facts. Then please schedule a no-cost or no-obligation appointment with me today.
Call Tony Gummo, your insurance services agent today. 1-800-800-1999. That's 1-800-800-1999. Or email agummo@ispa1.com.
Welcome back, folks. Next segment of our It's Your Turn program. And what a treat. We have several people here from the Butler Meals on Wheels organization, which is getting ready to celebrate a very, very significant anniversary. Let's first talk to the director, Mary Paticky, who's with us here in the studio. Pretty big birthday coming up, Mary.
It is, Dave. Yes, thank you. We're celebrating 50 years.
Wow. 50 years of operation in the Butler area.
Yes.
So that would take it back to 1969?
Correct. Right? November 17th, 1969.
How did Butler Meals on Wheels get started? I know you weren't with them then, but is the history well known?
It is known that there were some Lutheran ministers in the Butler area that saw the need for a Meals on Wheels program. So it got started at Luther Hall.
Mm-hmm.
At Saint, help me out, Roberta or
Peg.
First English Lutheran Church. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
With 13 clients, and some of the volunteers. One of them who's still with us today at Meals on Wheels, 50 years later. But some wonderful volunteers, and they started up the program, and here we are, 50 years later.
When you said Luther Hall, that rang a bell, and I remember now, it was a building located right behind First English Lutheran Church and adjacent to the Butler Area Public Library.
Yes, correct.
And it now, many, many years ago, is actually incorporated into the library.
It is,
They joined them up, but that's where Luther Hall was.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know anything about the history. And did I hear you say that there's an individual who was with Butler Meals on Wheels when they started 50 years ago and is still there?
And still here today with us delivering, yes.
Wow.
I know. It is truly amazing. What dedication to the community.
Are you free to name that individual? Or?
Yes. Her name is Marian Anita Gambrioni, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today. But
I wanted you to mention her because I know who she is.
Aw.
I'm not a close friend. It just so happens that I've sat with her the last couple of times I've come to your quarterly fundraising dinners.
Yes.
So I've gotten to know her a little bit while we shared chicken over biscuits.
Yes. She's a wonderful, wonderful person.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. And wow, she's been a volunteer all this time.
50 years.
Amazing.
Simply amazing, I know.
Well, listen, I want to talk to some of the volunteers who are here, but I do want you to go over the details. You're having a big anniversary dinner, right?
We are. November 5th, it's a Tuesday. We're having a celebration. We're having a dinner down at the Butler Days Inn in the Crystal Room. We have 174 people attending for the celebration.
Mm.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Is the list closed already, or can you still get a seat?
The list is closed.
Can't get any more in there, huh?
We cannot squeeze another person in. but, yeah, we had to turn in our RSVPs last week. So.
Well, that'll be a great night. What's the date again?
November 5th. It's a Tuesday.
That's coming up pretty soon.
It is, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It's Election Day.
It is. It's hard to believe it'll be November already.
And I want to make sure I had the date because I'm coming.
Oh, good.
I've got my RSVP.
I know you do.
Yeah. And I may have to slip out a little bit early because that's election night. So
okay.
We'll be covering the election here. So if you see me get up from my seat and wander out, it's not because I'm disinterested during the speakers. It's because I have to leave a little bit early.
Good to know, Dave.
We didn't want anybody to think I was bugging out early.
Right.
Well, that's terrific. Well, Mary, it's nice to have you here, and we've talked before about Meals on Wheels. And if you don't mind, I'd love to chat with some of the volunteers.
Please
here,
do.
If that's okay. So just kind of push that microphone over there to Roberta. That's good. Roberta, can you pull your chair in a little bit, get a little closer to that for me? That's terrific. Roberta McCaslin.
Yes.
You're a present volunteer for Meals on Wheels?
No, I'm an employee. I cook for Meals on Wheels.
Well, holy moly, one of the most important people then. You cook?
Yeah.
How long have you been cooking for Meals on Wheels?
A total of 37 years.
Oh, my goodness. The dedication of these people, Mary. Wow.
I know. It's wonderful.
I want to talk more with Roberta, of course, but say hello to our other guest. Donna Leary is here. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
Are you a cook or a volunteer?
I'm a volunteer.
Okay. Do you help deliver meals then? Huh?
I'm sort of the newbie today. I've been there just a shade over 3 years, and I work in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Well, some of these people, you're like a rookie.
Yes,
you've only
that's
been
right.
there for 3 years.
Absolutely.
Wow. And also with us is Peggy Loomis. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Nice to see you. Volunteer deliverer, or do you work in the kitchen? Or
well, I've done all of it, and this is my 49th year. Be 49 and a half years.
Wow.
And I've worked in the kitchen, I've served on the board, and I've delivered.
What's the matter with you? Only 49 years. 50th anniversary. I'm astonished at the dedication and the tremendous work you folks do.
Really, thank you.
Really. We should point out, just in case, I'm assuming most people are familiar with what we're talking about here, Meals on Wheels is an organization that delivers a hot, nutritious lunchtime meal, what, weekdays? Is that right, Peggy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I deliver every Tuesday, mm-hmm. and Monday through Friday we deliver.
Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of a noon hour meal, is that right?
Yeah, we're to be there at 11 o'clock. And then whenever the meals are ready, then we leave and deliver them and then bring the chests back in after we're done.
So it's a hot meal that's delivered?
And a lunch, a sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You can eat the sandwich right away and have the hot meal later or vice versa, whatever you want to do.
Whatever they want to do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, Roberta, that these are carefully planned meals so that we're getting the proper nutrition to the clients, right?
Yeah, sometimes we have a dietitian that'll look over it to make sure that we have everything and the serving size and that. And we try and keep it the way it is set up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's a typical meal? Hot turkey sandwich or something like that?
No, today we had stuffed peppers, a potato, and a vegetable. And it's just every day's different and the meals are just different, but we try to make it nutritious.
So what time do you have to start in the morning to finish these meals and then get them delivered during the late morning, early noon?
I start at 8 o'clock.
Mm. You're a pretty quick worker.
Well, if some of the things we'll fix the day before, if it's meatloaves or something, but mostly it just starts that morning.
Where are the meals prepared? Where do you work in the kitchen, Roberta?
St. Peter's Anglican Church on Jefferson Street. We use their kitchen.
Right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's that beautiful church with the red door.
Yeah, it's got red doors.
I assume it's still red. I don't know. I always remark when I drive by there how nice that looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're able to utilize their kitchen facilities there?
Yes. We've been there since 1985. Yes.
So if you're making a meatloaf or something like that, you do them in advance. Otherwise, you're cooking up 8 o'clock in the morning, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Where's the food come from? You have to go out and buy it, or is some of it donated? Or
no, the desserts are donated once a month from churches. We get our meat from Slater's, and U.S. Food delivers all our other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I should
and we get bread from Saloni's, I guess it is, bread.
Oh, that's good bread. Yeah.
It is good.
I should have known about the desserts because I see that occasionally in the church bulletin at my church where it says, you know, it's our turn to prepare desserts for Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
They would never ask me, Peggy, to prepare a dessert, that's for sure. Because my culinary skills kind of stop at heating up a hot dog. That's about the best I can do. So, Donna, you help deliver the meals. How do you keep the meals hot whenever you're delivering?
No, I don't deliver. Peggy delivers. Oh. I work in the kitchen.
Oh, you work in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can still ask you the same question. How do you keep the meals hot?
They have containers. They're like a tote bag kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they put hot packs in them, which is a heated stone type thing that goes in there, as well as a cold pack. We have hot and cold because of the hot meal, and then the sandwiches and the snacks and the dessert that they get. So they have two packs that go out every day, and there's a little basket that goes with it with a routing list in it with specific directions to each house. Not just the house number, it's specific to third house on the right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you mentioned, the red door, you know, if there's something like that that'll catch somebody's eye, they will put that in there. And as far as the sandwiches, we come in at 8:45, the desserts and sandwiches, and everybody gets a slice of bread and butter, and then the people that get two meals a day get the sandwich, and that can vary from cheese to chicken salad, beef, sandwich meat occasionally. It's just amazing how it works, the timing. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a time to show up. We have a time to put the milk out, and it is the best run oiled machine I've ever seen in my life.
You must have quite a production line there, like when you're making sandwiches or something. Or
packing
There's
up two the of meals, us so. At a time. There's two of us that make the sandwiches and do the bread.
Mm-hmm.
One does dessert. So it's not actually as big as many people as you might think. It's only Roberta and Cindy in the kitchen, and then three other people, and then people marking bags with names and route numbers and things like that, and it just flows. I mean, anybody that thinks about it, it's just amazing. Like I said, it's like I've never seen such a well-oiled machine that just flows. Nobody gets in anybody's way. It just works. It's perfect.
So it's not like the classic production line scene in I Love Lucy with
no.
Lucy and Ethel or whatever. They're trying to package pies or something like that, and they got it all screwed
not
up.
Not until we make a mistake and we're missing a sandwich or something. Somebody counts wrong.
It would need to be a well-oiled machine to do this five days a week, right?
Yes.
Monday
yeah.
through
yeah.
Friday?
Yeah.
Holidays, of course, I assume would be excluded, right? No?
Only Christmas and Thanksgiving.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you pack them up and send them out on Columbus Day and everything else, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Peggy, you're a deliverer, and you may not know the answer to this question because you would have your own route, but do you have any idea how many meals are prepared each day to be delivered on average, let's say? I'm sure it varies from day to day or week to week.
You'd have to ask Mary that.
Well, we had 80 today, I think, didn't we?
About 80?
Yeah. It's been varying around 80, 82 or so, yeah.
But we've been as high as 100 since I've been
there. We've been as high as 150.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, wow.
150
so
meals.
It varies. When people
varies.
Are, you know, people might be homebound for any number of reasons. It may be a more permanent situation or could be temporary if they're, you know, recuperating from knee replacement or something like that, and it's just going to be a few weeks before they can be out and about. Yeah. So you're delivering right now, although you've done other stuff in your mere 49-year history with the organization. Do you have a team, or do you go by yourself when you're taking these meals out?
I drive, and another gal goes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we are maybe a little different, I don't know, but we both go into the homes because we like to see the people, and they really become a part of your family. And we both like to go into certain places.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more with our guests from Butler Meals on Wheels, getting ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary, 50 years of this great service. They'll be celebrating next month. We will be back to talk more with our guests right after these words.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service, or not. All these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now. Before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions, pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Back, good friends. It's the Monday edition. It's your turn. Several guests are with us from Butler Meals on Wheels, an organization that will celebrate its 50th anniversary next month. Chatting with Peggy Loomis, who's right now one of the delivery people, although over her decades of service with the Meals on Wheels, she's done a bunch of different jobs. So you mentioned how you like to go in, even though you're the driver, mm-hmm. you like to go in and
yes.
visit for a few minutes with the client, right?
Yes, yes, really do.
Well, this would be important, I think, because you would be able to note someone who maybe was having a problem. Maybe their condition was deteriorating and, a family member might want to be notified. You could tell that right away, couldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, we can, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, if we've always been taught that if no one answers the door, that we are to go in if we can. I climbed through a window one time.
Get out, really?
Because I didn't know if they were okay or what, but we were to go through the house and make sure that they're okay, and if there's nobody there, then I would call back in to Mary or whoever mm-hmm. and report that, and then they try to get in touch with somebody to find out where they are.
I know I've talked with people over the years who are involved in caregivers for whether it's aging parents or a neighbor or whatever, and in many cases a family member will call every morning, mm-hmm. Mom, just checking, how you doing, is everything okay? But that's not always possible,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
So you would kind of be a safeguard for that then,
yes.
right?
Yes,
when you stopped in.
Yeah.
So tell me the story of climbing through a window. How the heck did that happen? had a person fallen inside or something
well,
like that?
Well, we got the message that morning that his wife was being taken by ambulance to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But he was supposed to still be there. And so when we got there, there was no answer at the door. So we were going around checking, and this one window seemed to be open. So I climbed through and went and opened the door, and we looked around, couldn't find him anywhere, and found out later that he decided to go with his wife to the hospital, but never left a note. And that's the thing. Sometimes they're supposed to leave a note and say, we're not here, and there's a ice chest that we put the meal in mm-hmm. if they're not at home. But,
a lot of people, I would imagine, would be waiting at the door for you, happy to see you. Huh?
Yeah.
And for some people, at least, it might be the only people that they get to talk to face-to-face.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
You couldn't help but become friends with
yeah.
them.
Yeah. I delivered to this one couple, Mr. and Mrs. Sloop, and we never got to see her. And so I asked the husband, I asked Calvin, I said, is Jenny able to come out and, sit in a chair and whatever? And he said, oh, yeah. The very next week, she was sitting out in the chair. And ever since then, she was Tuesday, she was always sitting out there, and we'd sit on either side of her and hold her hand and talk to her.
Wow.
It was real touching.
We were chatting a little bit during the break, something about cookies. the deal on that?
Yeah, at Christmas time, whoever's with me, we make homemade Christmas cookies and we take them to the our clients on our route. And you'd think that you gave them $1 million. They're just so appreciative and so happy to get those cookies.
Can't you find some more diligent volunteers, Mary, to do this work?
No.
This is marvelous. How, Peggy, did you ever get involved with the Meals on Wheels 49 years ago?
49 years ago, Dorothy Bly, who was would be Mary's... whatever Mary's doing. What's your title?
Director.
she came to our church and put on a program, and she had a sheet and wanted to know if anybody wanted to sign up. And this other gal and I signed up, and they called us for the very next week, and I've been gone ever since.
Could you possibly have imagined when you signed up 49 years ago that you would still be volunteering for Meals on Wheels today?
No, it's great. And when the thing, I want to thank my husband. He's great. Because after he retired, if somebody couldn't go with me, he always went with me, and I didn't have to try to call and find somebody to deliver with me. So I want to thank him. He was great.
So volunteers.
And all my children, too.
I'm sure your whole family has to be supportive. 49 years. Goodness gracious. You don't have to volunteer 5 days a week. You volunteer one day a week.
One day a week.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are some other people who might do it a couple of times a week. There are probably substitute lists, right? People who will take a call if there's an emergency and need somebody to fill in.
Right.
Yeah. How far is your normal route? And again, that would vary depending on who's on it
that day. I've gone as far as into Saxonburg and delivered on the main street, but right now I go out 356 and then Saxonburg Road and Center Avenue.
So probably, 10 miles, no more than that?
I don't know how far that would be. We clocked it at one point, but I don't know.
Your route's probably about 10 miles right now.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So you've already done that for today?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, because you do
Tuesday.
Work on Tuesday. What was I thinking? I don't know. Donna, what about you? Do you work in the kitchen just certain days a week, or are you there all the time?
Just on Mondays.
Just on Monday?
Uh-huh.
So you were in earlier today, huh?
Yes. Yeah, we finished up about 11:30. The kitchen staff finishes, and then the drivers take over once everything is double-checked, which they do a double-check on every bag that goes out to make sure that every name and we do have what we call specials, people that aren't allowed a certain food or a sauce or something like that. So when we're packing, the specials get done first. Those are checked before we start doing the regular diets. So they get like a double check to make sure that everything's correct.
I never thought about that because today there are people who have gluten-free diets. They can't gluten?
We don't have any of those, do we? No. It's more like they can't have
peanuts,
corn, or, fruits, maybe citrus kind of fruits and things like that.
So you have a notation on those particular
every bag clients? That we pack has a label on it. Mm-hmm. And it's diabetic, regular, whether it's two meals, one meal. So there's actually numerous checklists that get checked along the way. And like I mentioned earlier about, we've come up short a sandwich. Okay, where is it? And so we start checking every piece, to find that sandwich.
What was on the sandwich menu today?
Or were they all, we had Roberta's Wonderful Cheese Spread. So I'll tell you, the meals that go out of there, they can bring to my house any day.
She's a fantastic cook.
Let me talk to Roberta about that. There's got to be, obviously you're a good cook.
Yes.
There's got to be a different, and believe me, I don't know anything about cooking, so there's got to be a significant difference between cooking for yourself or a family and cooking for 80 to 100 clients every day, right?
Yeah, it is. It's just different because it's such big amounts at work, and then at home it's just small amounts. So yeah, I haven't been doing it for so long, it's just like nothing. If I have extra people, I do extra food.
You're one of those people that the recipes are all in your head. You don't have to look at a cookbook.
Sometimes have to look at the recipe box, but yeah. It's just kind of...
Not very often, I suspect, huh?
No, not too often, but sometimes on certain casseroles. I'll have to look just to remember what it is if I haven't had it for 8 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
You ever make that, green bean casserole?
Not for work, no.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I'm getting hungry just talking about all this. I haven't had lunch yet. Let me just slide that microphone back over there to Mary. I wanted to ask her a couple of questions in the time that we have remaining. Are you still looking for volunteers or people who might be a sub-driver or something like that for Meals on Wheels?
We always need good volunteers, Dave. With winter approaching, a lot of our volunteers head south for the winter. The snowbirds. People come, people go. They might take on a job, you know, newly retired, and they try volunteering for a while, but then they find they need to supplement their income again, so they take on a part-time job. So we always need some good help.
Mm-hmm. What about people who might be interested in being a client for Meals on Wheels? Are there requirements, you know, in terms of, do you have to be homebound? Are there income requirements, anything like that?
You have to be homebound. Not able to get out and about on your own. If someone picks you up for your appointments to get you out and about for the day, that's typically fine, perfectly fine. Just not able to drive on your own, catch a bus on your own, walk uptown, whatever the case would be. Mm-hmm. There is no age requirement, income requirement.
That's important because a lot of people might think we're only talking about senior citizens or elderly individuals.
Exactly. If you're homebound and you live within our delivery area, then you're eligible for Meals on Wheels.
What is the general footprint for your delivery area, right? Just around the immediate Butler area?
It really depends on which direction you head because there are many other Meals on Wheels programs in Butler County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As Peg mentioned, we go as far as almost the whole way into Saxonburg. We head out Route 8 heading south, out near the car dealerships, mm-hmm. McAlmont Road area. We go out as far as Walmart. That's where Conoquinessing Meals on Wheels meets up with us. We go out into the Herman and East Butler area. We go out 68, not into Chicora, but partway out that way. So that
pretty much covers
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
A nice radius of Butler.
Do clients pay for their meals?
Yes, they pay about 40. Right now they're paying about 45% of the cost of the meal if they're able. No one's ever turned away for inability to pay the full amount.
So it's obviously still a pretty good price, right? For a hot, nutritious meal, for goodness sakes, cooked by Roberta.
Cooked by Roberta.
With her own hand.
Delivered by Peggy. Sandwiches made
by Donna.
So it is. It's a great deal.
So if there's somebody listening who thinks they might qualify, or maybe they have a family member that might qualify, what do they do? Can they call you or something? How do they get in touch with you?
Yes, they can call themselves if they're able, a family member. It can be a neighbor if they see someone in need. We get referrals from the hospital, many social workers, caseworkers mm-hmm. call.
And in some cases, it may be only for a few weeks. Somebody rehabbing from knee replacement or hip replacement
exactly.
or something like that.
Our numbers change daily. Mm-hmm. They really do. We have our core group of clients, but as you said, you have those ones that are on just for a brief time through their time of need from recovering of surgery. But it's amazing over the years, Dave, the number of people that we've helped, and everyone's just so, so grateful. They say, you know, we just don't know how we could have done it without you, because we help them stay in their home,
yeah.
And that's where everybody wants to be, is home.
Absolutely. They avoid having to go to a nursing home or personal care
exactly.
home or something like that. And that is crucial to the mental health of a lot of people, too.
I agree.
And that hello from Peggy and others is crucial to the mental health as well. I salute you all for wonderful work. And Roberta, you've made me hungry listening to you describe your cooking. So I get a snack or something before I head to the golf course this afternoon.
You better.
Visiting with us today, Peggy Loomis, who is a 49 years of service out of the 50 years that Butler Meals on Wheels has been in operation. Roberta McCaslin, longtime cook, cook supreme. You should have had your chef's hat you could have worn today. And Donna Leary, a relative newcomer, only 3 years of service, for goodness sakes.
What have I been doing?
In the kitchen. In all seriousness, great stuff. And Mary Paticky, the longtime director of Butler Meals on Wheels. I don't have to salute you for your work. It's terrific. Nice to have you all here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Look at me, Dave, locked in a studio with four lovely women. Thanks, ladies, for being here. That wraps up our It's Your Turn program for today. Hope you can be with us tomorrow for the Tuesday edition starting at 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.